This week's episode is going to be so epic, so amazing. I've got my girl Holly here talking all about community, boundaries, grounding, you name it, we're talking about it. I can't wait to hear what you guys think.
Hello, babes. Welcome to PJs and Prosecco. Our show is dedicated to making spirituality fun, approachable, and real. You're already spiritually gifted, so I'm here to help you understand how to use those gifts to create your dream life. I'm your host, Emily Gornick, your certified spiritual coach and mentor, here to make healing, growth, and soul alignment feel less like a chore and more like a vibe by combining the woo with mindset magic. Think deep, soul-stirring conversations with a side of sparkle, hosted in pajamas, Prosecco in hand, of course. So whether we're talking intuition, healing, or manifesting your dream life, just know you belong here. So cozy up in your PJs, grab your Prosecco, and let's dive in. Holly, I'm so excited to have you on PJs and Prosecco.
Woo! I'm super excited to be here.
Yay! You guys, Holly is such a powerhouse. I love her so much. I've actually, you guys have heard on a few episodes, we talk about retreats, Sedona, Mount Shasta, with my girls, Pam and Alex. And Holly has been right there beside me. So we'll, of course, probably talk about that at some point. But before we dive in, Holly, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yes. So thank you. I work with spiritually curious leaders, service-based professionals. I kind of came out of the education world, and so I started my niche work with teachers, but I'm expanding really to beyond that now and really focusing on leadership and people who are struggling with burnout or overgiving and wanting some strategies for bringing their life back into balance and feeling like they really have that sense of co-creation of their life in a really intentional way. So that's really what I've been up to over the last few months, reshifting things in that kind of new direction.
I love that. Do you feel like this shift for you came kind of out of that 8-8 portal?
Absolutely. Yes. Because I had been really, I don't know what all you've done, but I know you've done a lot of things too. Like we've gotten our soul reports read and I've had a naughty leaf reading and I've gone with my Vedic astrology and all of those places. They were like, you need to teach spirituality to people. And I said, well, I love spirituality, but I want to be really practical and give people strategies they can really use. So I do think that since 8-8 and kind of the work that we've done since the summer, that has shifted. It's opened up a lot more. I feel like more grounded in myself and my skills and what I can offer to the world for sure.
Yeah, I just feel like everyone that I've talked to and those few of spiritual babes who are on retreat with us, we all just came out and shifted and transformed in such a magical way and really stepping into this more empowered timeline that we're meant to be on. And I mean, even Pam and Alex have talked about, right, that they stepped onto that. Yes. And I think that's what's so cool about community and coming together is when we up level and get onto a new timeline, like we do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things that I love so much about that is that a lot of times we don't see our own greatness. And so when we're in those communities and we're seeing, we're like, wow, how did I get to be with all these amazing people? And we do belong there. We are those amazing people too. And we get to lift each other up and really shine the light on one another and accept that and honor it in ourselves too.
Yeah, that's so true. So was Sedona your first retreat?
With Pam and Alex, yes.
And what was it about that retreat that you were like, yep, I'm in?
Well, I mean, working with Pam and Alex, they're just so magnetic and I literally sign up for everything they offer. So that's part of it. But that retreat was really focused around the elements. So each day of retreat, we worked with a different element and I was super excited about that. It was also easy for me because I live in Phoenix. And so it was 2 hours drive to get to Sedona. Rude. I love Sedona. I love the energy of it. So it was just an easy yes all around.
Yeah. I feel like I try and go to Sedona every single year, obviously worked with Pam and Alex, but I feel like there was something about that retreat and just the time, obviously the 8-8 portal, who doesn't want to be in Sedona for it,
right?
But it was like this, I feel like this calling, I got the general sense, this calling for all of us of
this community aspect and need to be together in order to like really open up more fully. I don't know. I just feel like there was something about it because if it was someone else that was running it, I probably still would have gone. It just probably wouldn't have been as magical without
Right.
Right. I felt like there was something about just that timing, that retreat location, the community that was coming together, or the women that were coming together. I don't know. I just feel like it really unlocked so much.
Yes, I agree. I think it was kind of a gateway into this fuller expansion that we've been experiencing this year.
And I think what's so, a testament to that and that expansion that we stepped into in that gateway is then majority of us, or was it all of us, went to Mount Shasta? I think we all went, right?
I think everyone who was at Sedona went to Shasta, and then we had a couple other people join us too.
And then we're all going to the Catskills
With a couple more new
with a
people.
couple more new people. It's like, everyone come get on this train, like, or this rocket ship into space. Like, here we go. Like, we're on a spiritual expansion. Who wants to come with us?
Absolutely.
I also had done plenty of retreats and some in Arizona, but they were all more fitness wellness related around the country. And I had, been flown in to do Reiki infused sound baths, but there was just something like, ooh, wait, I get to really just do something where I get to just be in my spiritual center for a whole weekend.
Yeah, I've done a lot of more like personal development kinds of retreats over the years, and I love those because you get that same kind of like growth and expansion and the excitement that kind of lands for you for those few days. But one of the things that I've struggled with in the past is that kind of retreat or conference high wears off after a couple of weeks, and I don't feel like I have the haven't had the ability to sustain that energy beyond that. And I don't feel that way with the Pam and Alex's retreats. Like I feel like, and it may be because I'm just still immersed in some of their world and other things, but I feel like they've given us practices to use that I continue to kind of have in my life, and that allows me to maintain that like level of frequency or vibration.
I love that you said that because I think that that's so true. And like now everyone's gonna be like, how do I get in on this retreat? I think it's sold out, but I'm not
I
really
think
sure,
it's sold
guys.
out for next year, but
But the all of this to say for everyone listening is like, there's so much power in community and group and just saying yes, even if it's uncomfortable. The first, couple of retreats that I went on, I didn't know anyone. In fact, the first retreat I ever went on was, gosh, that must have been September 2021. So like still kind of COVID-y. And I literally said yes and went on a retreat 24 hours later. It was like a wild time to be alive. I know. It was in Michigan, so I could drive, similar to you. It was like, oh, an hour and a half. Great. I'm going to do it. But instead of being like, oh, I don't know anyone going, let's not do it. It's, you know what? I really feel called to this. I think it's going to bring something really significant into my life. And I'm going to meet some like-minded women. And I haven't really been around that type of community in person in a bit. Thank you, COVID. So I'm going to just go and do it. And I think that's really like the crux of why you and I are so passionately sharing is because it's like you can get that when you just say yes, even when it feels uncomfortable or you think people are going to judge about it. Like, who cares?
And I would add too, like I'm an introvert. I can pretend I'm extroverted when I have to, but I'm not. And so going into groups of strangers is a huge fear of mine, and I don't love it. But like you said, when you say yes, one of the things that I kind of treat retreats or any new space where I'm like, I've never met anybody there. I'm like, this is a blank slate. I can show up however I want to be. And so I try to step into being that more outgoing person, connecting a little bit more than I would. And then I just make sure I also take good care of myself when I'm energetically overloaded to go find some me time and alone space.
Yeah, Holly is always the first to get a single room, and me included, because even though I'm an extrovert by nature, like I, especially when we're doing energy work, I need that integration time. Usually it's a nap. I need to go in my room and take a snooze. And so, yeah, you can really like, you're right though. You show up exactly how you want to because there's no preconceived notion of you really. I mean, now I guess we all know each other. So, you know what I mean? I do think too, Holly, I feel like someone who's listening like really needs to hear this about the introvert piece, because I think that sometimes we can get so stuck in how we've, I don't want to say labeled ourselves, because I don't think it's bad that I'm an extrovert. Sometimes I'm a total introvert and that you're an introvert, but you sometimes are an extrovert. Like, these are not good or bad things, but I think sometimes it can seem so foreign for us to go and do something because we associate with, oh, I'm an introvert. Or if I'm an extrovert, I probably don't want to go with complete strangers. I want to go with people I know so I can just be like, woo woo with my other girls. You know what I mean? I think there's something here that we
Absolutely.
need to like tap into.
Yeah, you know, this is reminding me of an activity that I used to do when I led a team years ago. And we actually took little file folder labels and wrote all the labels that we have had given to us or have had other people say about us or that we believe about ourselves. And we like stuck those all over ourselves and then mingled a little bit so that we could see like how we saw each other as labeled. And then we really looked at all of those labels and made intentional decisions about, do I want to keep this label? And if I don't, I'm taking it off. I'm going to throw it away and make a different choice. Now you have to keep living into that with action, but it was really powerful just from an awareness perspective of understanding that these are things that we just put on and we can take them off.
Wow, that's a really powerful exercise. I feel like someone needs to do that.
Yeah, I'm
I
getting chills. So, like, somebody's
I'm
supposed
literally
to
like
hear this.
this too. Someone needs to hear this. And you know what? You're reminding me of this random time. I went to this coaching school's, weekend thing. It was essentially for you to see other people in the coaching school. So then you would go and join the coaching school. Right, to get certified. I did not join that coaching school. I don't know. I got some weird vibes in it. And I was like, no, I'm good. But what was cool is after we watched the enrolled students or whatever coaching each other, is they brought us into a room and we maybe mingled, sat around until the instructor started for a minute or two, not long. And he said, okay, here's the exercise we're going to do. I'm just going to go around and I want you to say like your observation of each person. Like, and then he captured that. And it was so wild because in those 3 to 5 minutes, it wasn't even long. It was how people perceived your energy and how you walked into that room. And it was like, wow, she really just seems, a powerhouse, has her shit together, seems really fun. Or like him, like, seems like whatever, super smart, laid back. This girl over here seems like she's quiet, but like she's really taking it in. And it just was so interesting because you feel like you're this way, and then you come out and people see you for who you are before you really have had a moment to be like, this is me, and speak it. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yes. And I sometimes think they see like the real us, which is not always the version we think of ourselves as.
Oh yeah.
Not
No.
and like usually in a, they see us as a in a more empowered way than
Yeah.
we are judging ourselves.
Yeah, I remember being like, whoa, this is what you guys got out of like 5 minutes. Oh, hold on to your seats. I'm that plus plus plus. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I feel like someone definitely needed to hear that. So I'm glad that that came out because you guys, you don't have to be stuck to those labels and just say yes. My favorite thing too that I feel like someone also needs to hear. This is so funny. Normally I don't talk this much on a podcast, but Holly, you're bringing it out of me. I feel like I really appreciate this though. So Mel Robbins just did the like keynote speaker at doTERRA, the like oils and supplements. I love doTERRA. I'm not one of the people that necessarily sells it, but when people ask what I use, I'm like, here's my link. Perfect. I get points. Now I get goodies because it's what I use every single day, their supplements. So, and their oils a lot of times. But Mel Robbins, what was so cool is obviously it's the let me theory, or let them, sorry, let them theory. Love that. Literally has changed my life where I'm like, yeah, why am I worried about this? I was like, do you have it right there? Oh my God. Yes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let them, you guys. See, Holly knows. And she was just holding up a sticky note that she has behind her
It's
or
on a
in front
rubby
of
desk.
her on her desk so that she can always remember the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let them, like, just let it go. But what was so cool is she was talking about fear and how the only way to really get through fear is action. And so she went around the room and she said, "I want to bring someone up on stage." And so, someone like me is going to be like, "Really want to go on stage." But someone else was is going to be like, "Oh my, like hiding under, crawling under the seat, like absolutely not. That's the person
Don't
she
make eye
picked."
contact.
Yeah, that's the person she picked. She literally was like, "You, how are you feeling? Like scale of 1 to 10." And they were like, "I'm nervousness and like scared, 10. How is that making you feel?" Like, "Oh, I feel sick. My hands are sweaty and I'm really uncomfortable." And then she goes, "Well, do you want to come on stage with me?" And they were just like, "Okay." And then by the time they got up on stage, she was like, "How are you feeling now?" And then it was, it just kept going down and down to where they were like, "Wow, I'm actually not scared to be up here." It was like I had this whole preconceived notion piece of it. I feel like that is something that you bring in to your coaching. It's just like that action to create that momentum and like that chain reaction for everything around you.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Something popped into my head and now it's gone. So
It'll probably come
continue.
back.
It probably will.
I feel like now with you and your coaching, and I love that even earlier you talked about how Sedona had the elements. And I feel like there's so much importance into grounding. And how do you find that you bring grounding to your clients? What's maybe even easy, tangible things that the listeners could do?
Sure. Yeah, this is actually one of the key things that I teach because I think I know for myself and a lot of people that I tend to attract are like me. I used to be two-thirds out of my body pretty much all the time. I was very much in my head. I do a lot of thinking kinds of work throughout the day. Spend a lot of energy up here, and I often don't want to be fully in my body. And so I work a lot on grounding, and I have people who come to me who also are like that and need to focus on the grounding. And the number one thing that I do is planting roots. That's the biggest, easiest one for me. Whether you're visualizing actual roots growing out of your legs or feet and down into the earth to connect you, or you're thinking about, oh, I want a golden cord or an anchor or something else, this attaching your body into the dirt energy of the earth, because that immediately pops you back fully into your body. It could be even something as simple as like putting your feet flat on the ground and being like, where are my feet? And bringing your attention to your feet touching the surface, because those things are just bringing us back into our body totally fully, and they help us then reconnect into the grounding. And then there's lots of other strategies people can use. We love being able to just go outside and put our feet on the earth. That's a lovely one too, but it's not always accessible. If you're living in a city with a lot of concrete or it's cold, like in Chicago, that's no fun. Here in Arizona, it's a lot easier. I can go outside like 90% of the year and put my
Yeah, but
feet on the ground.
that other 10%, Holly, you're gonna burn your feet off.
You're gonna blister.
Yeah, so that's why it's nice to have options, right? And it's so easy. You just gave such easy ways. It doesn't have to be hard.
And yeah, absolutely. And it's really just about bringing your presence back into your body. So whether that is paying attention to your senses, or a really easy reset is just using all of your senses. What do I see right now? What do I hear right now? What can I feel right now? And maybe it's the air moving on your skin. What do I smell right now? Do I taste anything right now? And that just pops you back into your body because you're being present there. You're not thinking about the future and what's going to happen next. You're not worrying about the past and mistakes that you made. You're just here, present, right this minute.
Wow. As you were saying it too, I was like, what do I hear right now? And I was like, I hear my heat on because it is cold in Chicago. Like, what do you see? I was like, oh, look at a Holly. What do you feel? I'm currently petting Honey, so I feel a little warm puglet on my lap. But you're right. And I felt more grounded right there in that moment.
Yeah, and they're easy things you can do no matter where you are. Like, you don't have to go outside for them. You can do it in a moment. You can do that while you're sitting in a meeting with other people, as
Yeah.
long as you're not having to talk at that moment.
Well, yeah, ideally you're not talking at that moment because you might lose focus. I think the other thing too that I've really been loving as like an intentional tool for grounding is I have a smoky quartz bracelet. And I feel like I charged it and set the intention with it that whenever I'm wearing it, it's really grounding me. So every time I put it on, I have that thought of this is grounding me. And it's just right there and it's, I don't know, it's so easy and good. When I feel like I need that extra grounding, that's going to just be anchoring me in, even when I'm not necessarily thinking about it during the day.
Yeah, love
Okay.
that.
Yeah. Plus, I just love a good smoky quartz. You know what's fun? Do you like, are you into, I mean, are you super into, you're into crystals. You brought crystals
Into
to.
crystals, but I'm not like super.
You're not like
But
me where I'm like,
I have them everywhere.
I'm like me, I have like a problem maybe. I need to go to like Crystals Anonymous. But I do feel like when I was ungrounded, before I really understood what being grounded meant or like any of those different pieces, I was so attracted to smoky quartz. I was like, yes, I want smoky quartz. I have to have smoky quartz, all these different things. And then when I learned about it, I was like, oh, well, it's because I'm so ungrounded. My God, of course I need this beautiful crystal.
I love that. And I'm the opposite where I always go towards amethyst is my big one. One, because it's
Ooh.
purple and that's my favorite color. But two,
Yep.
because it's all about your inner wisdom, your connection to your intuition. My
Oh.
earrings have amethyst in them. So I'm literally like always on with the connection.
Oh my God. Well, you know how we got crystals for ABC3, you guys at Awaken Bliss Codes. If you want to know more about what it's like, what it is, you can just DM Holly and I because we could literally talk about that also for a
All
whole
day.
episode. But I actually got an amethyst, so you guys can't see it. But look how
Ooh.
pretty it look kind of looks like. I thought when it was like this, it kind of looked like a witch hat. I know
Yeah, I love it. That's so cute.
it self stands too, so I like that. But it's all
Nice.
charged now, so it sits on my desk, just ready to give me wisdom. It's intuitiveness. So I love this aspect of grounding, but I do feel like there's another flip side where, you know, when you're leading teams or other thought leaders around weaving that spiritual connection into their daily lives, how do you find it best to do that for your clients? And probably someone listening here needs to.
Yes, that's a great question. And I think so I will back up a step here and say that for me, I used to be one of those people that was like, your personal work stays at home, your personal life stays at home, your work is at work, and never the twain shall meet.
Yep.
And I've really shifted my perspective around that over time and really believe that what makes us most effective as work at work and as leaders is bringing our whole selves to work. Now, that has meant for me integrating more of my spirituality, and I'm not like fully in the closet because a lot of people in my work know that I'm weird. Like, wearing this kind of jewelry gives a message, and I wore it during my work day with my Zoom meetings and things today. And the ways I brought it in was I actually offer mindfulness sessions with my coworkers, just as like anybody who wants to be part of it within the organization. We do pop-ups. I did a 10-week mindfulness training with about 15 people last year about this time and into January and February. I use the codes for myself when I'm getting ready to go into Zoom meetings, when I'm leading my department, different things, just setting the space, bringing that intention in. And so those are some of the practices that I've found to be able to really bring important aspects of myself into my work. And I think that's really just helping my clients, other leaders that I've worked with, to think about what are the things that are important to you? What are your core beliefs and practices? And how do you bring that into your leading and your living in a way that is seamless? And it's not like in people's faces, it's not causing you to feel like you're going to get called into HR or something,
Yeah.
but you're able to be more authentically yourself.
I love that because I think you're exactly right. And I think that there was such a culture shift. Like it really used to be like your work and your personal are so separate. And maybe that was just before the internet, honestly, or like smartphones, right? Like you
Yeah,
clocked out
maybe.
at 5 and
And
you
you're
were done. But then you have to think about if you're spending 40 hours a week, that is more time than you are outside of work awake. And
correct.
so if we don't bring this whole perspective of ourselves, like spirituality, spiritual gifts, our passions with what we're doing and leading. I mean, gosh, like how disconnected to feel majority of the time you're awake.
And
Yuck.
it's a huge energy drain when you're spending time kind of monitoring yourself and what shows up in the workplace when you're not able to be more fully yourself. Now, obviously, we still monitor ourselves somewhat. Like, I'm not dropping F-bombs in meetings, but
What, you're not?
most of the time, no. Sometimes they slip out.
An unintentional F-bomb.
Yes. And I'm like, oh.
Oopsies, my bad. And everyone else is like, we were thinking it. I do think that you're right, because there is this aspect too of we can, I don't, it's not like oversharing, but it's almost like we do have to have professional boundaries, right, with our coworkers and also with ourselves. How do I want to show up and share in a way that's going to empower others and make them feel seen and heard and that we're a team, and do that in a way that's also going to make them trust in me, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that is it's a fine balance to walk, and you really have to know where your relationship is with your people individually and as a collective, with a team, with a broader department or whatever, because there is the risk of oversharing. We want to be vulnerable as leaders because that helps establish that trust and connection, but we also don't want to be inappropriate. There was a when I used to work in a parents as teachers home visiting program, which was more of a social work kind of organization. One of the things that really stuck with me that one of the social workers said is that you share your experience to help facilitate the movement in the direction you're wanting to go. It's not about you, it's about using it as a teaching moment. And you really have to think about, is this helping the work or is this just helping me? And that really helps me think through what level of vulnerability or sharing I'm going to do and how I'm being authentic without overstepping, especially when you're in a leadership role, because there is that power imbalance naturally there just because you're in a position of authority over people. And so people can misinterpret things that you're meaning just as being a person, like I'm sharing as Holly right now, but they're hearing it as I'm sharing as your boss right now. And that can be a tricky balancing act as well. So we just have to be mindful. I think that's really what it is. Be very thoughtful and intentional about how we're acting, how we're showing up, what we're sharing.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like that's too, though, like in friendships and relationships too, right? Is
Oh, yeah.
recognizing that sometimes it's more about how this will impact and potentially empower those around us. Or is it, and sometimes it is just we need to share with friends or our partners, right? And that's why we have friendships and relationships, is so that we can be like, no, this is for me. I just need to share this.
Yes.
But it's within reason, right? And it's having that self-awareness, which I feel like you get when you really step out of the spiritual closet. I feel like there's a new sense of self-awareness that I have and th that I continue to explore, right? I'm not saying that I'm completely self-aware. I am human. But there is then now that sense of I can sense when I'm starting to go into a place of I'm not being self-aware, right? And I'm not really sharing from a place that either I need support or I'm supporting someone else. And I think that that too really, really just comes from all of it. It's like when you're embracing yourself fully, when you're being grounded, when you're understanding how to combine the spirituality in it all. My hands are all over the place, you guys. We're understanding it all. I don't know. What do you think about that? Like friendships and relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of the same things apply. One of the tricky things that I've found is that when we're in those relationships, because we have that level of trust and kind of that unconditional love most of the time, that's what we aspire to at least. Sometimes we are our worst selves with them because we know that no matter how we act, they're still going to love us and forgive us for that. And that is something that I really watch out for in my own behavior, is that I'm not just dumping on my friends or partners, or I'm showing up as like a not the kind of person I want to be. just because I'm comfortable with them. You think about little kids with their parents that they're like having tantrums on the ground because they know that that parent is a safe space to have those big feelings with,
Yeah.
but they're not going to do that necessarily in their classroom at school. And then parents are like, why are they acting like this with me and not with anybody else? And we as adults, we do the same kind of thing. We sometimes act out and behave poorly with people that are we're closest to and care most about because we know that they're going to accept us usually.
Yeah, and I feel like a few people listening are going to have like that aha light bulb moment with this part of the conversation. And I would just say that obviously we're not perfect and we're not going to have it all figured out, but this is why it's so important, I think, to have a coach and or therapist, depending on what.
Yes.
Obviously, if it's really trauma-based therapist, if it's more I'm ready to future face out coach, to be that safe space for you so that you aren't the adult hypothetically throwing the tantrum on the floor. You've got Holly, you've got me, you've got everyone that's been on this podcast. I think everyone that has been on the podcast has some form of business or coaching or helping. Or if not, I'm just forgetting about one then. But I think everyone does. Oh, just all that to say, guys, is like there, you don't have to just be like, oh, I had that light bulb moment. Now I have to go figure it out, right? We inherently are also going to be our worst enemies with ourselves, and we'll probably just cycle back into that way that we were handling it instead of recognizing and reprogramming the subconscious and the energetics.
Yes.
Hope is there.
Yes. And I don't know if you've experienced this, Emily, but I know all the time I am like in my own stuff and I'm like, why can't I get out of this? And then somebody tells me something that I would tell a client or a friend or a coworker, or maybe I've literally told them and they're just regurgitating it back to me and be like, remember when you told me blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh yeah, why aren't I n remembering that? Because we are not good coaches for ourselves. It is a lot more challenging to do it because we're inv really invested in what we're going through and we have our blinders on, and sometimes we get stuck in habitual ways of thinking and can't see other opportunities that another person's perspective can bring up to light.
You know what I think is also, I 100% agree with you. I think that there are so many times where, even just in this entrepreneurial journey, where I'm like, oh, forget it. It's too hard. I'm just going to, I'm going to quit. And then I tell some peer group or my coach or mentor at the time about the feelings and the things I'm going through. And they're like, but wait, what if you blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh no, yeah, I'm 100% in. Yeah, you just reminded me why I'm doing this. Okay, thank you. Yeah, like, good. But also, I think what's interesting, I don't know if you've noticed this, is when it comes to now my interactions, and maybe it is just from a more self-aware and healed space. When I come to my mentors now, there are occasional times, of course, where I'm like, I just need to tell you what's going on and then I need help. But there's others, which I would say 90% of the time, I'm coming to them and saying, okay, here's what happened. And I know that this isn't a reality. And I feel like I need some tools to move through it. And it's almost like I've already started flipping the script on myself, but it only comes from me starting to tell someone else to have that realization.
Yeah, I definitely experienced that, and I'll say I often will say to my coaches things like, I cognitively know this isn't true, but it still feels that way in my body. So can you help me shift this?
Yeah. Yes. Help me shift it. Show me a different perspective, especially if it's something I don't understand or don't like.
Right.
Give me the different perspectives. I feel like I'm supposed to be the observer and learn from it, but in the moment, I don't want to be the observer. I just want to be like, whoa, throw my hands in the air.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's an important part too, is like sometimes, you know, we get into this toxic positivity mode of, oh, I can't feel this way. I'm not supposed to feel this way. I must go solve this problem. But it's also really important to acknowledge and validate the feelings that we have when we have them, knowing that those feelings are going to pass. Nothing's permanent in terms of our emotions. But taking the moment to acknowledge them and really be like, wow, I am feeling really sad, or man, that really pissed me off. And being okay with having a feeling, and then you can shift into what do I do about this, getting into action. But sometimes we bypass the emotions because we think they're bad, or we think we shouldn't have those ones, the ones we deem as bad emotions.
Yeah, those bad ones. That's so true. And actually, I feel like I've had clients who were like, oh, I didn't really feel mad or sad, you know, and then in the session we're talking. And then I'm like, so I just want to point out how you're feeling about that, right? And that realization, they're like, wait, I actually am mad or sad or whatever. And you're exactly right. It's okay to you have to have those feelings, because I find that if my clients don't move through it, then they bottle it up and then it comes out in a whole ugly way. And
Yes,
I've
or it
also done
creates
it.
sickness.
Yeah, or I get, yeah, I used to get really sick because I would be a people pleaser. And I feel like you also help women with the overgiving of themselves and their resources and all the things. That was me back in the day. I was such an overgiver. I was like, whew. And yeah, I would bottle up. I would get sick physically. And I absolutely would then explode at like the most inopportune times.
And about something that's really not that big of a deal,
Yeah.
usually.
Yeah,
Yes.
it's
It would
no.
be like out of proportion to the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I think too? That other thing that I've realized is that it's also okay if you don't feel the emotion you think you're supposed to feel in that moment. Like if I feel like, wow, I'm supposed to be really mad or sad, but I'm in this situation and I'm like, I feel okay. Am I bypassing? I feel okay. If I really sit with it and I'm like, no, I just truly am okay. Let them. I'm okay. That's also fine too. And it takes time to get there, though, guys. It's not like you're just going to wake up tomorrow or you're done with this podcast and be like, yep, because I didn't feel that feeling. I'm not going to. It's a self-awareness again.
Yeah, and it is, it's taking that moment to pause and reflect and really see what's true for me right now. Because that's what we don't usually do, is we don't take the moment to pause and really check in with ourselves. Or sometimes society says we should feel a certain way about something and we don't. And then maybe we start making ourselves wrong about that, like telling stories about how we should feel that way and why don't we feel that way? Well, maybe I'm a sociopath. Like, I have this conversation with myself sometimes.
Holly's like, am I a sociopath? I'm not feeling anything.
I'm like, I don't think I'm a sociopath, but I don't feel that way.
That is true, though. I can think of a few instances in my life where I was like, I'm not feeling anything. Is this just because I'm not a feeler? But I am a feeler. Everyone knows this. You can't tell. What you see is what you get. So if I'm not feeling, I'm like, what is this? Is this normal? Oh. Nope. Okay, I checked in. We're good. Or I checked in and I'm like, okay, that one's not coming for me. Now I'm going to ask for support to be able to tap into that feeling and that emotion to actually work through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It truly is a good one. But I feel like, speaking of overgiving, how do you help women to not be overgivers? I feel like it took me years.
Yes,
I'm probably still in it. I'm probably still in it.
I
To some
think
degree.
honestly, I wouldn't consider myself to be a people pleaser or an overgiver, but I also do want to be liked. And so that definitely tends to keep me maybe not saying no when I am a no.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, I'll dance around a no instead of just saying it. And so wherever you are on that spectrum, and I personally, I tell this story all the time because I think it's hilarious. I'm an automatic no. I'm like the opposite of the people who are like, oh, yes, I can't say no. I say yes to everything. I'm like, no, my initial reaction is always no. You have an idea
I'm
that's not mine? No.
out.
Yeah. And so for me, I've had to get my boundaries less rigid and more permeable, bring it in a little bit to the center, where other folks are having to put boundaries in place at all because they may not have any, or they're like so loose that people are walking all over them all the time. So I talk a lot about boundaries, what healthy boundaries really looks like,
Yeah.
how you can build the muscle of starting to say no without over explaining. No is a complete sentence. We hear that all the time, but it's true. No, period. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to give reasons for your no. And a lot of it is getting to the place of where we're honoring ourselves as sovereign. We get to choose the experience we want to have in life. And sometimes that means you say yes when you don't want to because you care about the relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes it means, no, I need to put myself first because I've been giving to everyone else for so long that I'm depleted. And if I keep doing that, I'm going to get sick or I'm going to have a blow up. something's going to go poorly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really treating yourself as sovereign and someone that you care deeply about. Like, would you treat your good friends this way? Would you treat if you have children, your beloved children this way? Like, if you wouldn't do that to them, don't do it to yourself.
That's so true. And I do love what you said, though, about there are certain times where you're a no, but you are a yes because of the relationship or that piece. And I think what's so interesting on the flip side is probably because I was such a people pleaser, is that I found in the beginning stages of my business, especially, but I'm sure this was happening before, it was just magnifying glass that because I was a people pleaser and always yes, I was so disappointed when my friends and family weren't showing up the way that I was showing up for them.
Yes.
Because that wasn't in their nature, right? They weren't in that people pleasing, gotta like give it all way. And it wasn't that they weren't wanting to show up for me. They were like, oh no, like don't even realize. And I had to learn as a people pleaser that I actually have to tell people my expectations,
Yes.
right? In a way like, hey, I have this event. It's really important to me if you can be there. Or this would be great. Or feedback after the fact. Like I was on the news here in Chicago. And the person I know, it was like so cool, so surreal. It was for Reiki Fuse Sound Baths. It was so awesome. Like kind of a wild pinch me moment where I was like, oh my God, I haven't even been doing sound baths for a year and I'm already on the news. Anyways,
That's awesome.
I know it's truly awesome. But the girl who I was with, because we did a joint event at this really nice hotel here in Chicago, and that's actually what was being featured were our events that we did together. And she had everyone blowing up her spot. I'm talking like text. Pictures of the TV screen. Oh my God, looking so good. Crickets on my end from my people. And I was like, I could either just internalize that and be like, oh, that sucks. They didn't show up again. Instead, I said, but how would I have wanted them? I would want what was happening to her to be happening to me. So I have to tell them that when they didn't, it made me feel like shit. And if they could just do a better job of when I have these moments, even if they can't be there, you know, if I've signified or signaled this is important, just a little note would go a long way. And I think that's because sometimes people just don't know.
No, and that's you're so right, because what you said earlier is you expected people to show up the way you show up. We all do that. We think that our experience of the world is everybody's experience of the world. It's part of being human. We're a little egocentric. We have to learn that there are other ways of seeing and being in the world. But it really is about communicating the expectations. And if you find that some of the people who you would like to do that are just not going to do that, you have to either be okay with it, or you need to shift the relationship somehow. Like, those are the choices that you land in, or you find other people who can be in that cheerleader for you in that part of your life. But it absolutely is one of the things I've been told in the past. Another thing that really has stuck with me is that all of our upset is due to unmet, unexpressed expectations. It's like, we have these expectations, but we don't tell anybody what those expectations are. We sometimes don't even know that we have those expectations. And when they're not met, we get upset. And sometimes we don't even know why. So we really have to start that inquiry process for ourselves of like, well, what was my expectation here? So you realize, with that media thing, your expectation was to get all of your people really excited and blowing up your feed and talking about how amazing you are, so that you would get that like energy infusion. And now you know that you need to communicate that with people so they can try to live up to that for you.
And I think that's exactly what it is. It's like now, if I have something really important, I tell you it's really important. And then now, if I don't, I'm not sitting there like, oh gosh, I wonder why no one noticed I was doing something, you know? And you are right though, because that also came to light of like, maybe I do need to really figure out my tribe, like figure out who's around me, because I want people who are celebrating me just as much as I'm celebrating them. Maybe not in the same way. Because I can really be over the top, but in a way that feels good.
Well, and I that way too, because I like being celebrated kind of like you do. And I'm probably not going to go out and be like, well, that's not true, because I have at least once or twice in my life been like, this is really important to me and I'm really excited about it. So can you just like try again and act excited? Like, it doesn't have to be real. Just make me feel good about
Doesn't even
this.
have to be real. Just let me feel
Try
it.
again. then they're like, yay. And I'm like, thank you. That's what I needed.
Yeah, that's it. It wasn't hard. I just needed a
Yeah.
little, like, yay.
Yeah, but I do try to be that way for other people. Like, even if I'm feeling, sometimes I see other people's successes and I feel that little bit like, well, I wish that were me. That kind of little sad. How come it's not me? But then I'm like, what if that were me, how would I want my friends to feel and react? And so then I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. And if it's things that I know are really important to them, I'm going to be excited for them, even if it's something that I don't care about.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's like a mic drop moment. I feel like we could go on forever, but we are reaching
Yeah.
time. But I always like to ask Holly, my guests, a random question at the end, and I don't tell you guys about it because then you are surprised and you don't have time to think
Okay.
about it. And I really like, so I asked ChatGPT, like, give me 10 really fun questions, and I pick one. And I really think you're going to enjoy this one. Okay. If Mercury and Orion, your cats, could give your clients, or you know what, could give the people listening one piece of advice, what do you think they'd say? Not
Oh, that's a
you,
really
your
good
cat.
question. What'd they say? Orion would say, chase the laser, which is basically like, ask for what you want. He's always asking me to get the laser out for him. It's his favorite thing in the whole world. He's like, ask for what you want, enjoy it in the moment, do the thing.
Damn, Orion,
Mercury.
that's good.
Yeah, that's good advice, Orion. Good job. What would Mercury say? He's like more chill, but also more Velcro. So I'm like, and he's also really food motivated. So he would be like, enjoy the finer things in life. If you want to eat the good stuff, eat the good stuff. Don't save the good stuff for later.
You know what? Isn't that so Mercury? Enjoy those finer things. Well, that's probably more Jupiter, but you know, I think I'm ruled by Mercury, so I'm like, this is true.
Me too. In
Truly.
Western and Vedic, it's like all Mercury all the
All the time. I love it. All right. Well, Holly, one where they can find you. And guys, just a reminder, this will be in the show notes so that you can go and find it.
Yeah, awesome. You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Holly King Ed. And I also have a free energy reset map, if that's of interest to anybody, that's got 7 free practical strategies that are really quick energy resets that you can use anytime during your day. And you can grab that at my website at www.empowerededucators.com/map.
Ooh, very easy. Slash map. I like it.
Yeah, slash
Thank
map.
you, Holly. It was such a pleasure having you. I can't wait to hear what everyone thinks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Emily. Great talking with you.
That's a wrap on today's podcast episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, or give a 5-star rating on Spotify, depending on where you listen, and share the magic on your socials. Tag me at I Am Emily Gornick so I can send you some love. To explore more, make sure you check out the links in my show notes. And as always, stay magical, stay powerful, and stay sippin'.